You're listening to Am I the Bowlcast, the only Magic the Gathering podcast in the world, except for a couple of others that are out there that I also like. Don't you worry about it. I'm your host, Mike Carrozza, a.k.a. Mark Carbonza, despite the fact that I don't want to keep using that pseudonym. The guy behind the Am I the Bowlist column over at CommandersHerald.com. And you may have missed her from our last episode at the end of the year. Our super producer is joining me once again, my co-host, Morgan Sanchez. Hiya, Morgan.
What's happening, Mark? It's 2025. It's the first Bowlcast of 2025. Is this...
Happy New Year.
Is this year two or is this year one?
Great question. You decide.
Future sight. It's only Magic podcast, so we should know.
Yeah, I think we've had the anniversary already. I believe we have.
Well, here's to another one.
And another one. I should have that sound clip ready to go.
Thank you.
Another one.
You're welcome. We are. Look, I'm going back. I'm going back to episode one to find out when the release date of that was, because we've been getting this started for a very long time. Oh, the first episode was November 30th, 2023. So we have had ourselves an anniversary and then some. So good job, everybody. We're on year two of the Bowlcast. Isn't this fun? We're doing it. I am very excited about this year, 2025. Not for any reason in particular, except that, your boy is a featured content creator at MagicCon Chicago on February 21st to 23rd. That's right. I'm going to be there. I'm going to have a bunch of decks. I'm going to be playing games. I don't know what else I'm doing. I'm waiting on a schedule, and I'm going to be doing stand-up comedy a couple days before the whole dealio, and then and maybe a day after. We'll see. I just got to pull out what my dates are and see if my flight can accommodate a little bit longer. But I'm there from the 19th to the 24th so far. So if I can extend, same. I'll extend. But you'll hear about that. Yeah, same. You live in Chicago, you silly dingus.
We're an hour away and taking an Uber there because nobody, do not drive in the city if you possibly can manage.
Damn. Try not to drive in the city. You heard it here first, you know?
Is the rat hole still available for rent, though? I am curious.
No, I think they patched that up.
Shoot.
I know. That anniversary just happened not long ago. I think this week, even.
Rest in peace.
But Chicago, hell of a city. Can't wait to hear a bunch of Chicago accents. My favorite kind. It's the most charming Midwestern accent. I'll fight anybody who disagrees. You could have a preference. That's fine. But when you come to me and you say the most charming accent in the Midwest is not Chicago, I'm going to tell you, buddy, listen, please leave my presence. It is the most charming accent, and I cannot wait to start conversations about brats and have somebody beefs. Hit me with a... Yeah, well, give me a good brat. A brat. Pronounce it like Chicago intend. You know, I will... Oh, I can't wait. I miss Chicago. Chicago's the best city I've ever performed stand-up in. I'm going to be picking up a couple shows out there, and I simply cannot wait to get stupid. Last year, I was a little timid with the kinds of material I did. I was holding back on some of the silly, but this time I'm bringing the sound cues and everything. So I'm excited for it. I can't wait to do more comedy. I can't wait to play Magic, and I can't wait to find out what I'm doing at the con beyond being there. I don't know if I'm going to be part of any panels. I know that they know that my strength is talking. I know that they know that I am a performer, and that I've been a performer for almost 15 years. Let's find out together. When I have an update, I'll give it to you. But for now, thank you so much for all the support. Everybody's been so kind about it when I announced that I'm going to be in Chicago. And can't wait to come back. Really excited about it. MagicCon last year was so much fun. Can't wait to do it all over again. I am going to be bringing, hopefully, just four decks. You can convince me to bring five, but that's where I draw the line. I'm only bringing five tops, but I want to bring four right now. I've got a list that if you want to know about it, please message me and I will give it to you. There are 10 decks in the rotation, two of which are brand new. The Master Transcendent from Fallout finally put that guy together. Pulled the trigger and got all the pieces, and it's quickly becoming one of my favorite decks. Who knew that Mikey had a green deck in him? I didn't, that's for sure. And then, of course, I've got a new Jeskai Goad build with the Stranger Things pairings, Friend Forever, with Sofina and Bjorna. So, heads up, anybody who wants to play with me, you might be seeing those two decks and then some. So, let me know if you want me to bring anything in particular, what you're expecting, and what you want to see from me. I cannot wait to be back out there. And please, don't tell me to go to Portillo's. I have been too many times. The beef did not make me feel good. I need to learn when to say stop. I'm gonna eat off a kid's menu while I'm in Chicago. Every portion was absurd. I don't know how anybody does it out there, but
real America is here in the Midwest. You want like just a bucket of cheese and maybe some potatoes, and that's like your balanced breakfast.
Damn, good morning. Anyway, I'm excited about it. Morgan, how you doing, buddy? How you been? Happy New Year. What's going on?
I'll also be in Chicago with, I'm curious because for the creator badge, did they give it to Mark Carbonza or your government name?
They gave it to my...
Or can you not say?
They gave it to my Mike Carrozza name.
Okay, gotcha. My alter ego government name. Yeah.
Yeah. No, Mark Carbonza will not be ever used for any of this ever again.
Well, if you need some tips for packing, one of the things that I do, even though I'm about an hour outside of Chicago, but what I do is this really fun thing where even though I'm super close to where the con is, I still bring a carry-on that's full of Magic cards. But the trick is you can still tell people like, oh, I'm only going to bring like one or two decks. But you bring like six or seven and you put them in this carry-on that's dedicated to these decks. And you just tell people you only brought two or three decks, but you have more decks. You know what I mean? So that like nobody judges you for like, why did you bring seven decks? You're only going to play two or three of them. And you're like, I know. I brought two or three decks out of seven. Two. Yeah, exactly. It's just like the secret, like professional way to do it.
It is Rogue Warrior. It's the secret tech.
Yeah, exactly.
To be fair, I brought six last time and I played them all. I got the most games in at Chicago in my year. And I Commander Sealed came in a solid second this year. When you share an Airbnb with Angelo and Andy Flowery and Nick, you're going to get some games in. So we got
to get some Cuban too. And
ooh, God, Angelo must be freaking out with Innistrad Remastered.
Straight geeking about it.
Speaking of Innistrad, speaking of geeking, speaking of getting a whole collection of stuff, Morgan, I need an update, buddy. Holidays have just happened.
Yes.
Have you had any card sphere acquisitions make their way over for the Odyssey Block Foil project?
So I haven't gotten a lot recently, but I have been getting rid of selling a bunch of cards that I've just had in a box. Like I probably sold like $150 worth of cards over the holidays. And I mean, good luck everybody I sent to. You probably won't see them for another 4 years because I lost a couple packages in the mail this year. The mail was just not great. And then I know that the Canada postal workers are still on strike. So, I mean, that's something that we can't send to y'all right the second.
They're back, but they're catching up, which is, understandable.
Nightmare scenario.
Well, I mean, that's the thing is like, to me, I think I support the strike, you know, I definitely support the strike. I support their right to do it. And I support the fact that they deserve better wages. And what they are asking for is not ridiculous, considering that they, you know, one of the demands is getting winter tires for their trucks. I mean, they
not the bare
are
minimum
in Canada, for God's sake. So, you know, yeah, exactly. Not the bare minimum. Yeah, basically the bare minimum. So, if we're talking that, we're going to make sure that we let people know, like, hey, I support the strike 100%. And you know what? If you're striking, dude, hell yeah, I'm with you. Whatever it is, we should strike tons. And that's it. That said, we are slowly getting our mail back on this end. So I've been getting some orders coming in too, and they are trickling in very slowly. And that's fair. But that said, that's how these decks got put together. The Master Transcendent is really fun.
He's Sultai, right?
Yeah, dude.
Yeah. I need to make a Sultai commander so bad. And honestly, dude, might be it because I love Fallout.
Yeah. Fallout's Fallout's sneakily been one of the more fun sets of the last year. For me, anyway, at least. You know, I got a couple things from Cards for come in right as the strike was popping off, and tell you what, clutch stuff. Some stuff that I can find at any LGSs anywhere. You know when you're looking for like an uncommon from like whatever set, you're like, nobody opened this. Yep. I was looking for a foil Ravnica Remastered Loaming Shaman.
Oof. Very, good luck.
I know.
Good luck, buddy.
I wanted an Old Worlder foil.
Oh.
And I have it as I used to have it as like the rare from Commander 15, but I wanted the Old Worlder foil. That's just what I wanted.
It's so simply better.
Let me have it.
It's simply better.
It's up there in Ravnica Remastered. I want it, so let me get it. Pop over, get it, boom. It came in, and it looks magnificent and so good. Checked my LGS this week. Still none. How do you not have... Anyway, that's the fun part about that is like you get to find some things. That said, we've been talking about Cardsphere. Cardsphere, they might as well have partner with because we see them every time. Every time we cast us, we cast... Partner with God, I should have thought about this better.
Cardsphere. Circle.
Cardsphere. They've been sponsoring us throughout our run as long as we've been doing this essentially, and can't thank them enough. Please use our referral code. It's in the description. It really helps us a lot, and you know, the more people are on Cardsphere, the easier it gets for all of us. So, I sold a couple things, and now I've got some money in the bank, and I'm gonna be perusing some of that tonight because I finally have a night off after this, so that's what I'm gonna
It's just gonna be Mike at his computer at 1 a.m adding to cart, like on Cardsphere, mm-hmm. which is what I do. It's a good feeling. You're just in bed
and
just
the mental
add to cart,
gymnastics
add to cart.
Of it,
yeah
finding out like, okay, so this guy's minimum is 15, let me see what else he's got. I want a foil version of the profile art for 6. Okay, this guy's got it, but what else he got? Okay, yep. All right. Let me pull it up.
It is a rabbit hole. A rabbit sphere,
it really is.
If you will.
A rabbit sphere. And there we go. Cardsphere. Get your cards here, everybody. Get them. Big fan of Cardsphere. Big fan of that. Big fan of Chicago. Big fan of lots of things. In the new year, get this. Mikey's trying to be more positive. Who knew? Who knew that? No, it's true. I'm trying.
In this economy?
I know, truly. Genuinely speaking, in this economy, it feels silly to want that. But I will say, I'm trying. I'm doing my best to be a more positive person. I am still filled with rage. And that is, going to be the case for as long as I live. I'm just trying to control it a little bit better. So if you see me online being mean or mad about something, no, you didn't. I'm working on it, but I will be also shouting out a lot more people online, trying to make it more about being more active on the socials for Magic specifically, and making sure that we are all chatting about what's going on.
A part of, you know, the gathering.
I have been to my LGS, the first Thursday I had available, I went to the LGS to play games, and I want to make it more of a habit where I go more often. So this Thursday, I had nothing going on, and I'm going to the LGS again, despite the fact that I had a brutal time last week, and we'll see if I can make it any better this week.
Bad
it's
pod?
Just, well, here's the thing. The pod was...
Uh-oh.
The pod was enjoyable enough. It's just that the power level... Nothing made any sense, you know.
Oops, all like, Kenriths.
It was, well, one guy did play Kenrith, but he was also a guy who was like, I've got, it's budget Kenrith, it's all basic lands.
Oh god.
I have to take more. Yeah. He's like, I have to take a lot of time to decide how to pay for things, and I'm like, dude, honestly, fair. I have patience for this. No problem.
Yeah.
But to the guy who played a turn 3 combo kill on the table playing Protean Hulk somehow, I don't care. We sat down, we were like, hey, I just built this deck. I've got the master, haven't played this deck not once. I just put it together this week. I would love to get a game going. It can, if left alone, it can perform at a, like an 8 or 9. But honestly speaking, there's a lot of fragile pieces and it's easily disruptible. So
what happened was they completely ignored it and you just got stomped on turn three.
Well, the other guy was like, I play this Scion of the Ur Dragon deck that, yes, it tutors every turn, and yes, it's a toolbox, and yes, it's hard to beat, but like, I'm also, he's a guy I've played with before, and he's more up for shenanigans than like playing to win. Then you've got the guy who was like, I'm playing Beamtown Bullies. Yeah, exactly. He's playing Beamtown Bullies, but he's got a Beamtown Bullies deck with only basics and only budget stuff. And it's only basically like massive annihilator creatures. So it's not like, it's not a bad Beamtown Bullies deck. It's not like the Eater of Days or Inverter of Truth deck. But then you've got this guy that's got Thalion, the Gitrog monster, and he pulls it out and it's beautiful foil. And I'm like,
oh,
I wanted to watch this commander in action for a while. I'm so excited that you're playing this. Can I take a look at it? What a glorious foil. Can't wait to see what this does. Very cool card. Hopefully we're all on the same page. We all nod. Sure, we start the game. And then turn three, this guy's got a Protean Hulk combo with Activated Sleeper, Luminous Broodmoth, a whole bunch of stuff. He keeps tutoring stuff to the battlefield, sacrificing, bringing back. He has his entire deck out in play. Basically like 15 cards in his library left the whole time. Like after like 75 cards, like me and the guy who's up for shenanigans were like, you know, we'd rather just play. Do you want to like shuffle up and try this again? Maybe so, pick a different deck.
You got treated to like a show and tell in a classroom versus a Magic game is really rough. He's like, you could have just given me the deck and I would, oh, hey, nice, man. You know, you go through somebody's cards like, oh, shit, you know.
Exactly.
Get through it in half the time. Kent.
I'll say this. I love a good deck that has an engine. What I don't like is tutors, especially when they tutor to play. And I think
I'm a Protean big tutor Hulk, hater. Yeah.
I don't. Same. What are you doing tutoring? Draw into the stuff.
That's too like 2013 Commander. That was when like we just had no other option.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it was, okay, I need the tutor for the one thing and it's maybe like going to miss. It's going to whiff. Like the power level is too, the pool is too great now, I think, for you to just be like, I'm going to sack a card for a card. Like that's goofy. That's 2013.
Tutoring to me feels like a betrayal of the format. So, like, I understand land tutors when they add to the board or, like, you know,
Lands, I'm not talking. Lands. Yeah, fetch lands. Yeah.
Sure. But, like, anything that makes the game go, okay, I play this and I go get the thing I get every game. And then you're like, hey, is this a competitive setting? No. Well, then there are 99 other cards in your deck. Why don't you, like, try some of that? You know, it's to me, tutoring, I just did not have fun with that at all. And this is coming from a guy who like regularly builds decks that when it comes to like turn six or seven undisturbed, I can have a 10-minute turn that wins the game, but I also have six or seven pieces out that all are easily disruptible, but at a certain point I get to a point where I can kind of maneuver them and protect some, and like it's fine to get rid of one or two. This guy was like, okay, turn three, I play this, this gets this, this now has this, 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 and let me go fetch this. I reanimate it. Okay, great. It came back in with the Luminous Broodmoth. Okay, great. Now Micaeus. Okay, now I have all three of them. Okay, you know, it was like a really upsetting situation. And he was like, okay, I get what we're doing. Next game, I'll pick a different deck. And he did. And that game was very eventful. It was interesting. It was messed up. Lots of really cool plays. It took a long time. And then we played another one and he just pulled out a different deck that did the exact same thing. Turn four this time. Just
man.
Alurin, everybody. If you're playing a deck that has Alurin, you know it's a combo deck. But this guy made a whole thing like, I didn't build with this card in mind. This is just kind of a value piece. And one guy was like, okay, I believe that, and didn't destroy it. And then he's like, okay, I'm going to go off. And then somebody did destroy it. He just brought it back. And then played Cloudstone Curio and drew his whole deck and won. And we're like, yeah, I mean, I don't know, man. Is this what you want? Like, I understand Alurin. I have Alurin in one deck, and that's my Mike and Will deck. That is, like, I kill Will as many times as I can and bring him back. That's it. And Alurin is in there because a lot of stuff happens to be low CMC. But at the same time, I know that when I play it, I'm winning, and I don't like play it to win immediately. You know what I mean? This guy was like, the whole deck, this is it. I tutored for it. It's in play. Great. Here it is. And you're like, Jesus, man, what are you doing? Why do you?
It just seems like what is the point? You're playing with three cards. Like you got the 99. Like, maybe you should play. A 60 card format if you want to play with just a couple
or
different
play
ones.
Competitively.
Right?
Play competitively. Play with a table of people who said yes. I want to play to win immediately. We all were like, I just built this deck. This deck is a goad deck that's in Jeskai, and it has a historic sub theme. Because that's just kind of how I was feeling that day, and I thought I could make it work, and here we go. Other guy was like, I have this like pre-con that I've lightly upgraded. You're like, okay, great.
Same.
You know, we've got very different vibes to this guy who was like, I've got this deck, and I'm playing these partner commanders, but don't worry about it. It's not like a deck to worry about. And then he plays Allure and he's like, I didn't build with this in mind, so don't worry about it. And then the end of the game, he's like,
don't worry about it.
At the end of the game, he's like, yeah.
Don't
at the end
don't
of the game, he
it.
Was like, there's out of 45 creatures, there's only one that isn't mana value 3 or less. And I'm like, so you built around Allure.
It just happened like that. It was like, throw a bunch of cards together. Nobody knows how much they cost. I'm really lucky. Yeah,
tutoring
because,
for it.
Right. I'm tutoring for the card I did not build around, because let's see what happens. Yeah. I am really lucky in that the brewery near me has Magic Nights once a month. That'll actually be next Tuesday, so I'll go. And both times I've been have had like some of the best EDH pods, because I think like a lot of the people who are coming there are a bit newer to the game, in my experience. You still have kind of spiky guys who are a little bit more like, you know, have stronger cards. They've obviously invested more time and energy. And then you have the guy like, I just like sleeve this up. Like, I don't know what I'm doing. Or put a couple cool things in there. And the benefit of it being at a brewery too, is that you can just get up, go get a drink and not come back. You say, hey man, you know, I'm going to take a break. I need to go get another drink. I'm going to run to the restroom. And then it's just like going out for smokes. Like, you just don't show up. Like, I'm going to take my stuff, like, just in case, you know what I mean? You don't have like the awkwardness of the LGS where you got to stay there the whole time. Like, yeah, I'm gonna go.
You ain't gotta stick around, baby. Yeah, you know what? Fair. Dog, I think, you know, it's oh my God, Morgan. Do you know what I just did?
What happened?
Do you know what? I forgot to turn on the phones for the year.
Uh-oh.
I forgot to turn on the phone lines.
Yikes.
Oh boy. Oh,
so we've
no.
just been
this can't be good.
Yeah, like dead air.
Okay. Well,
that
makes
person's
a lot
been waiting
more sense.
For a long time.
Oh God, have they ever. Okay, guys, we gotta whoopsie our way into this one. We're gonna take this call and get on the other side of this. Let's be right back. It's Am I the Boldcast? Check it out. Caller on the line, who do we have today? Who am I speaking to?
Hi, hello. This is Niall Joan Rivers, longtime listener, first time caller.
Well, hello, Niall Joan Rivers. How are you?
I am good. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Doing great. So you play competitively in 60 card formats. What would you say? Like, do you have a favorite format at the moment? Is there anything that you're like the most jazzed about it right now?
I mean, I think they're all pretty fun right now. I have been a standard defender for the past like 3 years. And finally, over the past like year or so, I would say people have really started to be like, oh yeah, standard is great, you know? And it's like undeniable, especially with the recent like standard season and like the Pro Tour stuff. Like, you know, you get to like the top eights of these big events and you see like, 8 different decks, you know, like it's so sick. And it was just
it's exciting.
Congratulations to WotC, because I am just positive they did not know that this was going to be good, because like they could not have planned with like the current standard rotation in mind, you know, because they decided like, hey, we're going to change it. We're going to make it a 3-year rotation instead of a 1-year rotation. There's no way when they were making the Streets of New Capenna cards, they were thinking about OTJ, right? Like there's just no way. They just got so lucky. Like, I think it's really a testament to like how good modern game design is from WotC, because like even when they're not planning on it, they just designed well enough that it all works together in a really cool and fun way.
It has been exciting watching standard matchups when they come up on YouTube of like recently. It never feels like, oh, it's mirror matches, or it never feels like it's like, oh yes, they're both on Esper Legends, but this one's built different, or like one's four colored Legends. You're like, okay, so what are the key pieces that are changing here? And it just becomes so much more exciting to watch that, because even in like the little fine details of each deck, you're finding something new to be like, okay, let me open my eyes to this. Although while they weren't figuring this out with like Nuka Penna in mind, and I'm sure a lot of people are excited to see Rafine go, for example.
Yes, I am one of them.
it still makes for some like, you know, interesting gameplay. Like it's been really cool. I agree with you. I think Standard's in a really cool and healthy place lately. I will say the moaning about Shieldred did not get easy to get used to, and now you don't hear much about it so much anymore. It's still a staple.
Yeah, but I don't think she's like warping the format though. You know, like I think she's obviously a strong card, and she does like run away with games sometimes.
Totally.
But also like removal is so abundant and so cheap in Standard. Right.
Well, when she came out, it wasn't so much like that. That was the problem.
I'm not going to say she was never format warping. I'm saying right now she is not format warping.
I agree. I think back then I totally would have been like, maybe it's time to consider a banning, or like, at least, is it time to restrict in Standard? Like, who knows? Like, could you imagine? But at the same time, I think that they made the right call in letting her stay. Because, like, now it's got, like, you know, some matchups, you're like, boom, Shouldred's doing something really cool and interesting in this game that, like, we wouldn't have had if we had banned it when everybody was like, well, my cutdown doesn't touch her, so you're like, all right.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's really telling that she is not an auto-include in every black deck, you know?
Like, huge.
Like, there are plenty of decks that, like, run black and don't run Shieldred.
Totally.
You know, that to me is a great indication that she is not a problem in the format.
Yeah. Now, what is your relationship with Commander? How do you feel about Commander EDH switching it up to a different format now?
Yeah, I have over the course of my Magic career felt many different ways at many different times about EDH. So, you know, I started playing Magic in like 2007. With Lorwyn. And then I think this is very common for a lot of people who've played Magic for a long time. A lot of like off, on again, off again, you know, just like would play for a couple of years, get out of it for a year or two.
Totally did the same.
Yeah, absolutely. So I had been out of it for a while, and a friend of mine was like, hey, there's this new Magic format called Commander. It's really cool. You should try it out. So I took my first ever Magic deck, which was Merfolk. I built a Merfolk EDH deck. Nice. But it was just like me and my friend playing one-on-one Commander. Like that was my first exposure to it.
Okay.
It's just like me and my friend Monica. And we just played one like heads up Commander. And we did it all the time. Like I would come over like once or twice a week. And we just play for hours. And it was sick. I was like, this might be the best format they've ever come up with. Like this might be like the way to play Magic. Like I think the deck building is really cool and interesting. I think the gameplay is really fun and interesting.
Yes.
And then I played Commander the way it's supposed to be played. You know, I played like 4-player Commander, and I was like, all right, never mind about that stuff about it being the best format. you know, that really like, I don't know. I think I went into it too optimistically about like, this can only be fun, you know, because my experiences with it were always just like, me playing with someone who like we're playing similar power level decks, we're also like really good friends, so like the vibes are right, you know. I was living in a pre-Rule Zero world, you know, in this like perfect little bubble, and I thought that's how every Commander game must be. And so then you start playing Commander with random people, which I think is where I went wrong, you know.
Okay.
So you get into all these games with like mismatched decks or like mismatched intentions of like what we're here for.
Right.
And then all of a sudden I'm like, okay, actually this sucks. I hate it. I don't want to do it. And then, you know, like I kind of like came back around, and once I started like making Magic content, I started making some Commander content, just kind of like spiraled into it, you know, it's just like what my friends were playing and, you know, all this stuff.
It's everywhere. People consume it nonstop. Absolutely. Nearly.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. 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 So I had a lot of fun doing that. And I had this show I did where I would play Two at a Giant Commander, because Two at a Giant is actually God's favorite format. It's the best. It's my favorite.
Okay, no, let's digress over this way. Come back over this way.
Sure.
Tell me more about this statement. I love this.
Two at a Giant. Let's do it. Actually the best format in Magic the Gathering. If they ever, like, I know they've done, I think they did like a PTQ or something that was Two at a Giant once. If they brought back Two at a Giant comp Ariel events, I would go to literally every single event that I could possibly go to. It's all the best things, because like you get to play with your friend.
Hell,
you know,
yeah.
Not like against your friend, but you also do get to play against, it's just, I think it's the best way to play multiplayer, because you're no longer at the like whims of someone else's decision, right? Like you are a team making choices. It is like the 1v1 version of four player Magic. And it's just like, I don't know. It's like a team event, but you're playing at the same time. So they're like, it's just more fun. Like I can't come up with a reason why Two at a Giant wouldn't be the best format, you know, like, It's oops all upside. And you
oops get, all upside.
You also get a lot of interesting, you know, like casualties from cards that were intended for Commander. You know, like each opponent becomes very powerful. I had a really funny interaction at an OTJ Two at a Giant pre-release where one of my opponents had pulled two Archangel of Tithes.
Okay.
She had them on the board. And, you know, it's like, if someone attacks you, they have to like pay one for each attacking creature, but it's Two at a Giant, so we just attacked the other player. You know, and it's just stuff like that's just like so cool and fun to me. I'm building a Two at a Giant cube, like a cube designed to be drafted and played Two at a Giant. And like one of the really sick things about it is you get cheap dual lands, because you get to run the commander duels that are like, they come in untapped if you have two or more opponents.
Because
you do.
Get out of here.
You have two
opponents. Get out of here.
So you just get these like $7 dual lands.
The Battle Bond lands are really...
They're cracked. They're so good for Two at a Giant.
That's so funny.
I love Two at a Giant. And no one else does. And that's the tragedy.
See, here's the trouble with Two-Headed Giant for me is that there's an LGS that does Two-Headed Giant for every release. Like there's one tomorrow for me.
Yeah.
The thing is, it's always on a Sunday morning, and it's hard to convince one of your buddies to drop $70 on a Two-Headed Giant event. Well, $70 for the premium one, but like, you know, like even just like being like, hey, I'm going to go do Two-Headed Giant pre-release at this place. Do you want to come with me? And they're like, yeah, what time? I don't know. And it's because the place has to close before the mid-afternoon, but it's the only place that does 2HG in my area. Otherwise, I'd be totally, you know what? I might fire a text off at some point.
Do it.
After to see if I can convince Eric to come with me. I think Two-Headed Giant can be a lot of fun, but I prefer it in like limited environments to like Command or Two-Headed Giant. I think that there's some fun to be like, you know, we're a team. Like, hey, if we're sitting across from each other, we're a team. But then you just play Commander, like free-for-all. So, like, each opponent effects will affect your other player. But if you win, they also win kind of deal.
Yeah.
But I think Two at a Giant is really, really fun. What do you think the likelihood of Wizards doing a, like, Oath of the Gatewatch / Battle Bond again? We're like, Oath of the Gatewatch had Surge, right? That the mechanic of if you have a partner or something. What was that it? If your team casts a spell already.
Yeah. They had those. I think that's that set. But I don't know. It's got to be like abysmally low, the percent, you know? Like
That's my expectation. It's so funny to see the word teammate in... like reminder text, you know, like Crush of Tentacles, for example, like you lop one man off of it if a teammate played a thing already, but then it's a mass board wipe bounce that leaves behind a big big beater at the end of the day, you're like, okay, I mean, this is the fun part of the game.
Well, if like, you the love unexpected. These cards, you're going to love my 2 out of giant cube.
I'll tell you what, if the cube is ready when we're at the same place, I'm definitely going to see if I can join you for one of those. Because
absolutely.
I'd love that. I would love that. That's so fun. So your relationship to EDH is that you came in, 1v1 commander is the best way to be. And then free-for-all commander is kind of like, oh boy, this is a very different experience to what I liked.
Yeah.
And then you started doing 2 at a giant commander for your content. Is there, like, I feel like the vibes part of it is really what feels like it stands out to me as, like, potentially what made it feel like less your thing. Is that fair to say when it comes to commander?
So, like, originally when I first, like, fell off commander, it was definitely just, like, I was not in a group that was making any effort to, like, meet in the middle expectations-wise, you know? And I think those are miserable. I think Commander should be treated almost like a board game. And I think we have, like, a perfect, like, analog for this with the board game Monopoly. Because Monopoly is a board game that I think is very fun, but I think is only fun if you play by the rules. And Monopoly is a classic board game where everyone has their own version of Monopoly that they play. And I think it's like one of the first board games to need a rule zero conversation where you sit down and you're like, all right, is free parking? Like, do you get money for that? You know, like if you land on free parking, is there like pool in the middle? Do we auction off things? Basically, do we play by the rules as written or do we do the like weird rules we made up as a kid? You know, like is cheating allowed if you don't get caught? You know, like I've played all of these versions of Monopoly. But, you know, I love Monopoly, but only if we're playing rules as written. I think rules as written Monopoly is sick.
I'll give you, just before you move to your point, I'll say there's only one version of Uno I'll play, and it's the one that I learned that isn't the real one. The one that the internet
is... The one that takes 8 hours?
Well, no, not... So the real way to play Uno is, like, I can't believe this is what they think the game is. But, sure. Like... The Uno that everybody has been playing the way forever. I've never met a person who plays Uno differently to the way that I play Uno. And then I found
Describe
out recently.
It.
So just, God, how? I don't know. God, I don't know. I don't know how the rules differ from Uno. I'd have to look it up and be like, what seems out of place? It's kind of like you can't make people draw more.
Oh, you can't like stack draw fours and stuff like that. Yeah.
Something like that. Or like it's.
Oh, I think a big one is you don't keep drawing or something. Like if you like, you know, like you have to draw a card if you can't play.
Right.
But if you like fail to find, essentially, you don't just like keep drawing until you can play. Yeah. I feel like that's one. But that is one where people will just like draw 100 cards.
Yes. And then, but they're in a terrible position now. Either way, I do think that Uno is best played wrong. And Monopoly, I agree, is best played correctly. So we're on the same page here.
You know, there's like, that's how I feel about EDH. You know, where like, I have found that I really, really enjoy it, but under like specific circumstances. And those circumstances are, I like everybody in the pod. And we're all just kind of hanging out. And like, that is the forefront of what we're doing. I've learned one thing I hate and hope to never do again is streaming EDH.
Oh.
Because here's the problem with streaming Commander.
Yes.
If you end up in a pod that's not fun, you are now, it's hell in a cell. You're locked. Like if I am in a pod in real life that's not fun, I just pick up my cards. You know, like I have no problem being like, hey, you know, GG's, I'm gonna go like get Taco Bell or whatever. Like I'm just, I'm done here. But if I'm streaming it, I have to like sit there being miserable. You can't just be like, you know what? Cancel the scream, cancel Christmas. Like it's over. Like it's awful. I like EDH under this specific situation that I just laid out, or where I can just like get up and leave if I'm not having a good time.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure Many, many folks who are in the Magic the Gathering content creation sphere have appeared on a stream or two where, you know, hey, it hasn't gone your way, and oh boy, wouldn't it be great if you could just walk into the other room for a little bit, you know, and you, you can't even...
You just have to, like, still be entertained. And, like, here's the thing. Like, as a comp player, I don't really care if things don't go my way. You know, like, you counter my spells, you kill my things. Like, I'm so used to this. I'm so accustomed to getting shut down. Does not faze me whatsoever. What does faze me is when three other people are playing these, like, dirtily thousand game action, like, do-nothing decks. And I'm just like, oh, I am taking, like, a two-minute turn. And then I'm waiting like 30 minutes to take another 2 minute turn, you know, like that is a situation where in real life I'd be like, hey, we all misread what everyone was trying to do here. I did not bring a dirtily deck to the dirtily deck game, you know, I'm just going to bounce and you guys can keep like doing your thing. But on stream, I just got to be like, all right, so I got to like be funny for 30 minutes and then take my turn real quick and then like keep being funny for 30 minutes. That's torture.
What's fun is to see a dirtle deck still move fast. And that's
That is fun.
Yeah. Yeah. That's
you watch the recent standard pro tour as people are playing Slowgurk, you will see a lot of dirtly decks playing quickly.
Yeah, these are people who goldfish their decks daily, multiple times a session. Like you have to. You have to. And that's like a big takeaway, and I think that if, you know, if you're still new to Commander and you haven't gotten into the habit of goldfishing your decks as you're building them, while, like, you know, before going to play events or, like, just hanging out even, you know, the Command Zone did a video on this. Like, hey, here's how to goldfish. There's two different styles. JLK and Rachel both did their own versions of goldfishing. And, you know, it's a helpful tool if you're not in the habit. So make sure to check that out. So would this kind of would you consider this to be kind of like your pet peeve about EDH, like it not quite matching your expectations, or like a dirtle deck that takes a long time? Is this something that you would consider like, this is, I'm calling into the bowl cast, this is what I want my pet peeve to be? Or do you have a story where you're like, maybe I was the villain, I don't know?
Oh, I have a story of when I was definitely the villain, and I did not mean to be.
You'll make it easy for us to vote at the end of this. So I think
well,
if you know,
I don't
you're the
think
villain.
What I did was villainous, but I was certainly treated in a villainous way. This was not actually in a Commander game, but this was in regards to the Commander community. So recently I commissioned my good friend Bobby Christine, who's incredible at brewing EDH decks. And that is a skill I don't have. I can, you know, build for competitive formats, but like I sit down to build an EDH deck and I just like, I can't do it like she does. She's an artist. It's amazing. So I commissioned her to build me two EDH decks because I needed them for like some content stuff I was doing and all this. So I had her build these two different decks. She did an amazing job, knocked it out of the park. So I send a tweet because I want to promote my friend. She did such a great job. And I'm like, you know, Bobby built these decks for me, blah, blah, blah. And then in a reply to my tweet promoting Bobby, I said something that I didn't realize was going to stir up as many emotions as it did.
I think I know where this is going.
I think you do. And I hope I don't get in trouble for bringing this up because I know you have like EDH rec people who are like
the podcast is based on my column on the EDH site. You know, it's
I think I'm gonna get voted villain for sure.
I don't know. But this is a discussion. We're gonna have fun talking about this, I think.
All right. So my tweet basically was like, I believe that EDH rec has done a lot of harm to the format in terms of making it too homogenous, where people will just, you know, look up their commander, see like, oh, these are all the cards that I need to run basically the same list as everyone else. And to be fair, as a comp player, I do this all the time, you know, not for EDH, but like, I'm not brewing decks for competitive Magic. I am downloading the deck that did well last week. I'm running that exact 75 with maybe like one or two changes. But EDH to me is like the deck as self-expression, deck as art, format. And so, you know, this was like a throwaway comment. It was not meant to be part of it at all. It was just like, I think, you know, brewing this way has led to a lot of, you know, the same sort of decks, and like hiring someone like Bobby makes for like a more unique, you know, bespoke artisanal deck, mm-hmm. you know, hire Bobby.
Sure.
This spirals out of control with people telling me I'm wrong. EDH Rec is great. It's the stupid idiot users who are like ruining it. Like, it's just a tool. There's nothing inherently wrong with a tool. It's how people use the tool. And I keep being like, yeah, but like, the tool is like, it's the tool that is being used, right? And they're like, well, someone else would just make the same tool. And I'm like, okay, but like, we agree that like the tool. And then people are like, well, you know, like, it's just you do whatever you make with the, you know, it's up to you to be creative with the tool. Mm-hmm. And to that, I'm just like, if you give me a hammer and a nail and you're like, get this nail into that wood, I'm not going to come up with a creative solution to get the nail in the wood. You know, I'm going to hit it with a hammer. I think anyone will in that situation.
Right.
I'm going to hit it with a hammer. I'm going to get the nail in the wood. And then you're going to be like, that wasn't very creative. And I'm gonna be like, you gave me a hammer. What do you want me to do?
But I think that there's something to be said using this exact analogy to counter your position here. Right. Now it's the debate show.
I'm
not about to say that you're completely wrong. As somebody who uses EDH Rec, I often use it to like choose cards that aren't on EDH Rec as like the top cards. I love having cards that surprise people in my decks, and I know that EDH Rec, you can set it to like competitive, you can set it to like different themes and stuff, and like you'll end up finding some cards that you're like, how have I not thought about that? It is a tool. It is very useful, and I have to admit that you're not entirely wrong in that it is an extremely popular tool, and mm-hmm. when people go to it and they decide, well, this is how I'm going to make my deck, let's click on build the average deck and do that, then of course there is a homogeny to that. Right. But I think that when you're hitting a nail with a hammer just to get one thing done, it's an uncomplicated, you know, thing. I'm hitting the hammer. It's in. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm, there's no yearning for creative expression and hitting the nail with a hammer, at least from what I'm, you know, the way I'm thinking about hitting a nail into wood. It's just get it done at break time, right?
Yeah.
But what I do think is like, I think it's still just like a very good tool for like, hey, if I want to build a competitive deck, well, you came to the right place. Obviously, like, you know, you could set it to max competitive and here's a Yuriko stock CDH list. Let's do with that. Right. And then you can customize and express yourself, because you mentioned Commander being the expression format, the one where you like want to, you can get creative by like, maybe you want to alter your stuff. Maybe you want it to be, you know, the specific arts or printings and stuff like that. That's a way to do that. I think that while EDH Rec is a very useful tool, it's oftentimes the last thing I check when I'm building a deck. And it comes down to like, is this now the same defense that you were hit with on Twitter? It kind of is. Yeah. It's a tool that I'm using one way that I feel is acceptable. But you're saying it has had an effect on the game, and I can't deny that.
Yeah.
It has homogenized the meta. Again, you know, I don't know that it has or hasn't, because when I'm playing Commander, it's I'm building my decks, and the decks that I'm playing against are like friends of mine who are like, okay, so Zangief from Street Fighter canonically has a mole. I would like to build a deck with a mole theme. You're like, okay, sweet. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, well, I'm not swimming in those circles where it's like I'm seeing the exact same thing over and over again personally, but there is an element of EDH Rec that's like optimization, stats, you know, stuff like that, that tends to push in one direction, and I can't disagree with you.
Well, and that, like, first of all, this is like verbatim the defenses that people were hitting with on Twitter, and like, I don't disagree with these defenses. You know, the thing is though, like, it's always from like the world's most like entrenched and franchised players, you know, who are like, we're literally sitting here on your like EDH podcast, like,
exactly,
you're in it, you know,
like, yes, you're gonna be.
The way you're doing it is just different than like. Like, to me, when I got back into EDH for the first time, I remember being at an LGS. I was buying some cards and I was like, hey, like, you clearly know stuff about Commander. I'm new to this format. This is the deck I'm trying to build. Do you have any recommendations? And the guy immediately was like, have you ever heard of EDH Rec? And I was like, no. And he shows me this website and he's like, here you go. Just put in your Commander. It shows you all these great recommendations. And I was like, that's amazing. Thank you. And so what did I do? I pulled up my Commander on EDH Rec and I was like, oh yeah, that does seem like it makes a lot of sense in my deck. And then I just start putting all these cards in my deck because EDH Rec told me to. Now, obviously, if I was going to build a deck now, that would be different, but right. I am like a much more entrenched and franchise player. You know, like I have the ability to wield it. And again, like, I really think EDH Rec is a sick tool. I think they've done like really amazing work with it. I am not anti-EDH Rec whatsoever. I just think for like a certain subset of especially newer players, it's not obvious that you're not supposed to just like essentially copy the list from EDH Rec. And it's like kind of self-fulfilling in that way where, you know, someone goes to EDH Rec, puts a card in because it's like 88% of decks. Now it's 89% of decks, you know, like, and then it just like keeps building. People are like, oh, 98% of people are playing this. Like, I have to, like, I'm obviously an idiot if I'm not playing this card.
Yeah, and then what can happen is sometimes that card doesn't actually interact well with the deck itself or like some other stuff that's in the stock list. And then you end up with a segment like Challenge the Stats on the EDH Reccast where, you know, you hear about like, oh, hey, Chainer decks, I'm seeing a lot of Flare of the Hatebound in your lists. You know, Chainer puts it back on the stack, so Flare of the Hatebound doesn't actually work with it. Sorry, you know, but it's still on EDH Rec as like a... So there's like... There's a little bit of stuff like that, you know, you try to course correct and stuff. But I do think that I understand where you're coming from and I hear you and I'm with you in regards to that, to the extent of it being like, I think that when introducing new players to the game, you go Scryfall first and then say, check out EDH Rec, but don't forget that this is your deck and you make it what you want it to be. Yeah. Now, of course, you know, it's easy to be like, okay, just go to EDH Rec and make a deck.
Right. You know, yeah, of course.
That makes it easy.
But well, you especially if you're like a LGS worker, like I don't expect you to sit there and like,
sure.
You know, like totally, like no part of this am I saying like that guy like should have. No. Better like introduce me, like totally like just give me a link to EDH Rec and go do your job, like totally fine.
Yeah, I think first of all, when people dogpile on Twitter, it's always just a mess. First of all, like, let's be real, it is, you know, it's not fair. Like you're expressing an opinion about a thing that like I think the use of the word, it's like it's done harm to the game is gonna make people defensive. Like especially the community that's like, I use it. What's wrong with me using it? And
right.
And the answer quite simply is like, look, if I go on EDH Rec right now, and I'm like, I want to learn how to play Commander, I could go to Top Commanders, and then Atraxa, which was printed in 2016, is at the top and has been almost since it was released. And how many Atraxa decks have I played in my lifetime? I've played against maybe three that weren't the pre-con.
Sure.
You know? So I what I also think is happening is like there's a lot of theory crafting online or like, you know, people copying lists and stuff. So it kind of like the homogeny thing. I can't fault you in your thinking. I have to agree with you that on some level, this is pushing like, you know, the samey lists here and there. But again, if you're somebody who's using the tool, if you're using it as somebody who's like knows how to do your own research on stuff, and you want to like use the multiple tools at your disposal to make a deck of your own. Like EDH Rec is just a tool in that suite, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, like, I think it's a great tool. I think it can do a lot of good. But, like, you know, for contrast, I had Bobby, I commissioned Bobby to make two decks. And I said,
which one of the commanders, just for fun?
Yeah. So one of them, I was like, I want a, like, this is not a CEDH deck, but a strong deck. I want to bring it to like pods where people are like really wanting like to play some beatdowns. I want it to be a mean Grixis deck. I don't care who the commander is. I just wanted to play Fable of the Mirrorbreaker, and I wanted to play Obnix the Adversary, because those are two of my favorite cards.
Fun.
And she found the perfect commander for these lines, where it was Saruman. I don't remember which Saruman it is by name, but it is the one where when you cast a non-creature spell, you amass Orcs X, where X is... mana cost, and then your goblins and your orcs have ward 2. This is genius for a couple of reasons. One, plays well with Fable, right? Mm-hmm. Makes an orc when you cast it. Your goblin shaman has ward 2. Kiki Jiki itself has ward 2.
Yeah.
Plays gorgeously with Ob, because you amass a giant orc. You can casualty the giant orc to Ob. You make another one because you're casting a non-creature spell, and you get like a 9 loyalty Ob like turn like 4. Like, it's insane. Yeah. She found like the perfect line. She just built this like cracked as hell Grixis deck. Very cool. And then the second one, I was like, I want like a casual, very thematic, you know, like low power but high theme kind of deck. And I said, I don't care what you do, follow your heart.
Okay.
And so she picked Bruce Tarl. Is that his name? The ox guy?
From the OTJ?
Yeah, I think so. The one that like gives all your oxen double strike.
Yeah, Bruce Tarl, Roving Rancher is what come up here.
So she built a Bruce Tarl deck. And it's so cute because like it's full of ox, which my rule zero every time I play it is when I say cow, I mean ox. So anytime I cast choose a creature type, like cows and ox is the same in this deck.
Yeah.
So it's got like all the ox in it. It also has like all these like shapeling, you know, like changeling creatures.
Uh-huh.
And something that I think is really funny is there's a lot of cards that end up turning Bruce into an ox. So I love this like headcanon where he just like really wants to be a cow. But then also cards just because they have cows in the art, right? So there's like a land tax that has a cow in the art. So that's in it.
Yes.
There's a Chaos Warp from Fallout that has like a two-headed cow in the art. So that's in it. You know, she just like, she fully themed out. Like, it is a cow deck.
That's very fun.
It's awesome. And there's like, there's no shot that any online tool I could have been like, cow deck, you know? And like, put together a cow deck. Or I could have been like, Grixis plays Fable and Ob, and I would have got to this like perfect, like, it feels like a private chef made me like the best meal of my life.
Totally.
You know what I mean? Like, it's so sick. It's so sick.
I love that. I think that is very sweet. I think that the way you describe the Bruce Tarl deck to me is what EDH is all about. Like, I think that like when I sit down with a table and I'm like, okay, let's go, I'm so down, tell me the story of your deck, and you're like, well, I'm playing this Bruce Tarl deck and he really wants to be a cow, and I'll be like, look, I'm just gonna go ahead and tell you I'm listening, but I'm gonna need you to say that again, you know, like,
yeah,
that is, it's so fun to me that that's the direction that a deck can take. When it comes to your higher powered deck, like, again, I think that she nailed it. Like, she definitely found some card, like you said, here are my two restrictions, this is what I absolutely need in it. And while Bobby knocked it out of the park, there are still like online tools that help with that, and I know that there's like advanced settings on EDHREC that could help with customizing a deck like that. However, to your point, it feels nice that it's just made for you.
Yeah, well, and like,
it
you
doesn't
know,
feel like a machine went through a process and spat
I wasn't it out. Even I wasn't even like, I want to play Fable and Ob, find a commander that plays nicely with those. She could have literally just picked any like generic good Grixis and then just like shoved a Fable and an Ob in there. Mm-hmm. And I'd have been like, you nailed it. You know, you fit the brief perfectly.
Sure.
The fact that she went out of her way to find a commander that was, felt like it was built for these two cards. And yeah. also in the colors, like, you know, like neither of those cards have blue in them. I just love Grixis.
Right.
I love playing blue spells. I love countering. Sorry.
Yeah.
But, you know, like.
Sorry.
it was incredible. Like, I couldn't believe how good of a job she did. And, you know, that was really like the focus, or what I tried to make the focus of my tweet, was just like having someone do this for you, like bespoke, is just like a better experience. And I think the thing that got misconstrued is that almost all of my Twitter friends are like at Bobby's level in terms of like how entrenched they are, how yeah. serious they are about brewing. And so they're like, what the hell? You know, like I can't yeah. brew my own decks. And it's like, no, like I only have like 160 characters. Like, I don't mean you, you know, like there's nuances here.
Yeah. Let's just say that Twitter is just not the best for nuance in any sort of way.
Never
has been. It's given us some gems, I'll tell you that much, but
that's true.
Definitely
that's
hasn't true. Been a place to make a great, like make a point with all elements intact. No. Let's just say.
Yeah, I was the villain, or at least I was treated villainously. It was, I had to mute it. Like, I had to mute so many threads.
That's fair.
Someone made a YouTube video about it. It was just.
Oh, okay.
It was all over.
I mean, you know, working for, and I don't know if this will make the podcast or not, but working for Space Cow, the company that, you know, owns Commander's Herald and EDH Rec. You know, whenever somebody dunks on EDH Rec, there's like an element of like, is there something that we need to, like, should we have to respond to this or not?
Sure.
And I wouldn't be surprised if I went back into the, like, a thread, I'd find this tweet in there.
Yeah.
And I think the general consensus, like, at Space Cow is like, hey, like, that's your opinion. You know what I mean? Like,
totally.
Like, what are we going to do? Tell you you're wrong and be mad at you for it? It's like, okay. And like, here's the thing, it's not like you're making bad points, but it's also like, at an entry level, if you don't want to invest a bunch of time and make a deck, you throw down on EDH Rec and you get what you want out of it. It's like, okay, that's on one level. On another level, you're going and using it as a tool, right?
Yeah.
And while on that first level, it does contribute to what you're saying is like, you know, kind of a feedback loop.
Yeah.
It's still something that people want and like explore. And what I hope for is like those people who do go out of their way to like get these homogenous deck lists, they find themselves kind of over time working on their own thing with what they found online. You know, I think that that's it's not that it's like an unhealthy place to start. It is just a place to start.
Yeah, totally. You know? And like, also, like, I want to be clear. I think it's totally valid if you do go to EDH Rec and just like copy paste your deck. Mm-hmm. You know, again, like, I am no stranger to net decking. This did like somehow become part of the conversation where they're like, she hates net decking. And I'm like, no, I do it all the time. I love net decking. You know, like, however you want to interface with the game to have fun is totally fair and valid.
Uh-huh.
My point ultimately is just that I think doing this makes the format as a whole samier than if it did not exist.
And I don't know that I can argue with that.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's like if this were a website about cooking and you're like, I want to make a pad thai. What are things that are good in a pad thai? And you're like, well, top of the list is noodles. You're like, well, you know, then you, like at some point or another, somebody's like, I'm putting corn in mine. And then that list gets popular or something, you know, eventually pad thai is all about corn.
Some big pad thai content creator drops the corn list and it's warped the meta. Yeah.
Some big pad thai content creator drops the corn list. I don't know that I'll ever forget that sentence. I don't know if I'll ever be able. That's burrowed in my brain like so many things right now.
Great.
That's so funny. Wow, that is so funny. That's too good.
Thank you.
God, that's good. Man, that I can't get out. That's just, I'm crying a little bit. I got a little bit of teary. That got me right there.
Means a lot. I know you're like a comedian guy.
Yeah, I'm a stand-up comic.
Comedy stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. You love comedy, you got to start looking for the funny in a bunch of places, and sometimes it slaps you in the face like the big pad thai content creator drops a coin list.
Yeah.
That warps the meta.
That warps the meta. It does. Changes it forever. And that's my point, you know?
Pad Thai will never be the same. I think we could call it to a close there. Let's sure. Niall, where would you like people to check out your content, follow you online, and support you?
Yeah, so I stream magic on Twitch at Niall Joan Rivers. I've got, you know, like I do tournaments and stuff that I host a lot there. You can find me on Twitter at Niall Joan Rivers. That's got all my links to everything. I do a lot of magic posting. Sorry, Ken, think you can.
yeah, sorry, Ken.
And yeah, you know, just if you're into a vibes forward approach to competitive magic and sometimes EDH, check me out.
Hell yeah. Well, Niall, thank you so much for joining me today. We're going to head back into the booth and talk with Morgan about whether or not you were the bolus. All right, now we got to drop the music, but I don't have the soundboard, and it's... Man, it's a hot one. Niall Joan Rivers, thank you so much for calling in with a spicy, spicy call. Niall Joan Rivers, thank you so, so much for calling in. So excited to chat with you. It was so nice to talk to you. And I'll tell you what, the pad thai bit at the end. God, I'll never forget that. I'll never forget that. Oh no, I've forgotten it. The exact wording. I just had it.
And you were just there.
Shaking up the meta.
Imagine that.
I know. The pad thai, some pad thai content creator shows up with the corn tech and shakes up the meta. The implication that there is a pad thai meta is so funny. Niall Joan Rivers, a cut up. Absolutely hilarious. Cannot recommend watching your stuff any more than I can. I swear to God, that was such a pleasant convo. Can't wait to chat with you again. Please check out Niall Joan Rivers online. Constantly hilarious. Constantly.
The best
whenever
takes
it pops
in
up
magic.
In my feed. That was. Okay, we could dive right into it because it's truly, we have to acknowledge off the top of this segment here, we are biased. We have a bit of a bias considering that I write for Commander's Herald, Morgan edits for Commander's Herald and EDH Rec, and we work for the same company. Commander's Herald is EDH Rec's sister site, and we have a bias considering EDH Rec, you know? Now, obviously, you heard the conversation we just had. I have my opinion out there. Sure, I go to EDH Rec whenever I'm deck building, but it definitely ends up being something that comes later in the process for me. But, you know, if people just want to grab and go or want to start with a template, let's get them. Everybody's got their own way to do things, and you just heard us chat about what the reasons are. But I will say, I love EDH Rec, obviously. I think that Niall Joan Rivers brings up an excellent point, though. And I do think that it is fair and interesting. First of all, dogpiling on anybody sucks. Like, you can have an opinion about something like this, and that's fine. Like, if you're gonna be like, I don't like EDH Rec because of this or that, that's like, yeah, fair. What everything's gonna be for everybody? No, of course not. It's another thing if, like, you know, we platform, you know, they were talking about how what's happening isn't so, you know, that to this and that.
Nobody would do that, though, right?
Please bleep all of that entire thing, just the whole part where I pointedly mentioned somebody. Bleep it, though. Don't take it out.
Nope.
Don't. Okay. Extra bleep that. Bleep what Morgan just said.
Oh yeah, double fucking bleep.
Fucking.
It's been too long. I'm not trained anymore. I'm so sorry.
My point
making
is,
making fun is the play.
If we're dogpiling on somebody for having an opinion like this, that's ridiculous. Don't be a dick, right? Dogpile for something that makes sense. You know what I mean? Don't dogpile on Niall for being like, you know, you'd probably have a better time deck building if you didn't go right to EDH rec. I was like, yeah, hey, that's an opinion. That's an opinion. And that's a part of the process. I agree. I think don't go straight to EDH rec when you're building a deck. That's my process is go later. Have some fun with it. See what you missed, you know? But that's what I like. Part of deck building for me is finding the pieces myself using Scryfall, different Scryfall tags, you know, really getting into the advanced searches, scouring particular sets that I find that has a theme, you know? Lots to love about EDH rec, but also if you don't like it, you don't like it. NBD. I'm tipping the hat here and saying that I think I'm going first in the verdict part and saying, Niall, not the bolus. Now I've cast my vote, Morgan. Can you remind people at home what our votes count for?
Oof. Well, it's complex. And after the new year, I was thinking about developing a newer, better, less complex system, and it's just not possible.
Well,
scientifically,
okay,
mathematically. So what it is basically is that.
Yeah. Layman's terms.
Yeah. We're gonna vote as to whether or not Niall is the bolus.
Right.
And my vote will count for 1 point. Vote.
Okay.
Yeah, which means your vote, 3 points.
Got it. Still three.
Just quick math. Yeah, exactly.
Easy. Okay. Now, I've cast my vote, so we know it's pretty decided here. But Morgan, what about you? What is your vote going to be for Niall? And give us a little bit of a... Tell me why.
Well, so in terms of the bias, it's definitely true because working for EDH Rec pays my rent. So, but at the same time, we're not remiss to thinking that... obviously, there are a million different ways to use EDH Rec, and I'll be the first to admit that I almost like I use EDH Rec exclusively to replace certain cards and look for something that's like strictly worse. So trust that I am not looking at those top recs like literally ever, because in my opinion, I want my decks to be kind of flavorful. I want my squirrel deck to have stuff that relates to squirrels in the forest, or like the Urza deck is like, it's only artifacts that are from in and around Dominaria, or like, you know, Weatherlight Saga stuff. So like, for someone like me, EDH Rec maybe isn't super useful. I think who EDH Rec is useful for is people who are maybe new to the format, new to just Magic in general. There are approximately 6 billion cards that have been printed as of 2024.
6 billion. So that's on the low end, I think.
Maybe 8, 9, 10. It's not 10 yet. It'll probably be 10 by the end of the year with like the Universes Beyond releases, but I do try to be conservative with my math so that, you know, I can pretend like my vote counts more, for instance. But in terms of who EDH Rec is good for somebody's new to the game, 6 billion cards are available to you. I don't know a single one of them. So what am I going to do? I have a cool card. Say I have the Urza, right? Or I got this pre-con. I plug that into EDH Rec. What cards do I see? All of these are new. I don't know what any of them do. Let me take a good long scroll and read and see what's going on. Maybe I don't like that this one's like a little too win happy. Maybe I like this one's a little goofy. You know what I mean? Like I like that part of EDH Rec the most. I think when it comes to like homogenization of the format, I wouldn't disagree with that. I don't think anybody would. But I also think that homogenization is just something that is inevitable whether there is an EDH Rec or not. So it kind of makes like any argument against it a little moot to that end for me, logically, because there's always going to be the guy who has, say, like a Kenrith deck and wants it to not do anything, but has access to like all 5 colors and be able to do things. You're going to want to homogenize that a little bit and make sure you're making the correct plays with the correct cards. Especially, you know, as new ones come out, maybe this is a strictly better version of this one that I have in here. And so you can see those patterns at a website like EDH Rec recommending those cards for the deck. But there's just so many uses for it outside of just general homogenization, because it's one of those things you don't have to listen to it. But also, you know, really, I think that the biggest benefit is for newer players who just don't, you're going to see a wall of cards recommendations, right? When you search up anything, whether you search up a card or a commander, it doesn't need to just be a commander, it can be one card and then cards that synergize with it. So
that's what I like a lot. And this is the thing. I like that you're covering the side of saying it's great for new players. I'm over here like, it's a really sophisticated tool for older players. Like the players who've been around for a long time, finding synergies for individual cards, you're not always on a commander's page.
Yep.
I like that it makes it easier for me to find the possible partners. Like, rather than going to Scryfall, I prefer using like EDHREC if I'm like looking at partners, or a background commander, or like a background and finding what other command, like which ones can use a background. The Friends Forever thing, for example, I knew I wanted to build with Sophina, but I wasn't sure which of the other guys that I was going to pick from. You know what I mean? So I used EDHREC for that. There's like finding out what the trends are. There's different filters. There's like so much that you can do on EDHREC that like, I feel like I'm always personally just scratching the surface when I'm like, when I'm toying on there. But I'll say like, I think that it's just like another tool in your arsenal. And just like Niall said, if, you know, if it's a tool you don't want to use, you don't use that tool, right? And it is what it is. Now, Niall also talked about something. You didn't even vote. I'm sorry. Morgan, are you going to vote for Niall being the Bolas or not the Bolas?
Definitely not the Bolas. I agree. We can have a different opinion about it. I don't disagree that it's right. Homogenized the format. But I think the example of that being, it would be homogenized without EDHREC also. So it's just kind of silly. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I mean, yeah, that's the thing, is like any online resource, you could talk about like just like a Reddit thread, but where EDHREC started, and a Reddit thread being like, hey, I have this commander, I don't want to build it like, you know, like this. And then you would get a bunch of people recommending cards, and then you get a bunch of people who search for that same thread and end up building that deck. EDHREC makes it like a little bit easier to look for that kind of stuff. And then on top of it, like it's bound to happen with the internet. It's bound to happen with how hyper-specific some cards are getting. Like, if we take a look at, like, you know, some face commanders, if you want to upgrade a precon, well, we have precon upgrade articles, but we also have, like, you know, here's all the stuff that has this kind of score, but don't forget that it came in the precon. You know what I mean? So it's like EDHREC has your back looking for stuff to cut or showing you where it's inflated or whatever. But I think that the way things have been designed lately, it's a lot more niche. Like if we take a look at like the Thunder Junction commander decks, those are on rails, right? Like the Gonti design is like, I don't want to play my own cards, right? Okay, cool. So that's a theft deck. Here's a bunch of theft cards. Here's what synergizes and so on. So I think that EDHREC does a great job at like getting you those things. But no matter what, there's only so many cards that do it. And the more narrow and niche we get with these designs, the more that's bound to happen anyway. All that said, it's an opinion. It's also, hey, I don't want to use this tool and I don't like it so much. And I think it's been not so great for the format, seeing the same things over and over again. And it's like, yeah, I mean, fair. But how much are you realistically seeing over and over again? You know, that said, not the Bolas. Thank you for chatting with me, Niall. I really had a good time. You're so funny. And I think one thing that I really loved that you brought up was commissioning two decks by Bobby Christine, who, by the way, heads up, everybody. I'm not sure how Bobby's health is going as of this release. You know, I believe she still has cancer. And you can donate to Bobby directly. She's got bio.site/BobbyChristine. That's BOBBIE Christine. So bio.site/BobbyChristine, where you can donate directly to her for any reason. Doesn't have to be for cancer, just that you support and appreciate what she does. Maybe even commission her if those requests are still open. But Bobby's a wonderful community member and dealing with some health, I don't want to say health issues or difficulties. It's cancer. It sucks. It's cancer. You know, cancer. Sorry, Ken. But, you know, anything helps. And Bobby's an American. So as a Canadian, I feel like, oh, no, the thing that I don't have to worry about is happening to somebody else with medical bills. And I can't imagine how much that must be an extra weight at a time when there's already so much weight. It's cancer. That sucks. Anyway, point is, Bobby, wonderful community member. A little peek behind the curtain. We were in discussion to have Bobby on the podcast a while back, and then she had to pull out of doing the episode because of some bad news. And that wasn't shared with us yet, but we were, you know. That said, point is, we're looking forward to having Bobby on at some point down the line. And right now, we're talking about Bobby. Donate to Bobby, but also, what a fun idea it is to commission decks from people. What a sweet little, like, oh man. Like, I don't know how much of a business this is, but it even if it was just like, I want to build my friend a deck. What a
I would
fun...
pay somebody to do it, 100%. I have like a laundry list of decks that I would give to somebody, pay
Buddy,
them to put it together.
Maybe you should message Bobby, because this is so fun. Both decks that Niall described ruled so hard, and the love and care that went into it. I understand why Niall was so excited by this, that it ended up being like, man, I can't believe this deck was built with all the love in the world and all this care and all this effort and work. And it's amazing. And I admire and appreciate all this stuff. And, you know, who knows, maybe Bobby did use a little bit of EDH rec, but I understand why Niall was so stoked about these decks that she was like, yo, put some love and care in your stuff. Don't just go get a list off of a stats forward site. You know, I just thought it's so fun, such a sweet idea. And it made me think maybe we could try to do this sometime this year, where we do like a Secret Santa-esque kind of deal with any listeners who want to, you know, maybe a summer jam or something, where whoever wants to join in, we kind of like secretly give them somebody to build for, who has like certain requests or something, and then we'll get them to use Archidect. And, you know, here's the list that I put together for you. I thought it would be fun to do this, and here's an explanation of it. It's such a fun thing, and it reminds me of how much this game rules. It can go so deep because of the people playing it. You're telling me that Bruce Tarl wants to be a cow so badly. That's so funny. That's so funny. You know, you pointed out three cards that were in Standard that you wanted to play so badly in a Grixis shell, and Bobby goes out and finds the exact perfect commander for the deck. Awesome. That means a lot. That's so sweet, and I really, really love that. That said, hell yeah. I don't know what else to say. This is the first episode we've recorded in a while, and it feels like it. What rust is being shaken off right now? I'll tell you what. I apologize for the length. I appreciate you sticking around. I think we're going to call it there. What do you think, Morgan?
Is it time to scoot the day?
It's time to scoot the day. Before we scoot, I just want to say, Cardsphere, get your cards here. Cardsphere.com. Make sure to go check them out. Follow our referral link in the description of the episode. Please and thank you. We have a link tree. That's linktr.ee/amithebolus. Where you can find all Am I the Bolcast related stuff, Am I the Bolus column. You can submit to Am I the Bolus, all this stuff. You find our Twitters, our Blue Sky, so on and so forth. You can find me at Mike Carrozza, MikeCarrozza, on Twitter, Instagram, and Blue Sky. You can find Am I the Bolcast on Twitter and Blue Sky as well. Morgan, where can people find you, and what would you like them checking out?
Well, I am going down with the ship. That is still known as Twitter, at Indigo Gentleman. And I definitely want to shout out that even if you don't use EDH Rec for Rex, definitely check out our articles section. We have articles every day, Monday through Friday. We'll do set reviews for like new sets. I mean, if you don't know what deck to brew, whether you want a commander that only has like 500 decks on EDH Rec, whether you want one that has 10,000, we'll probably have an article for you. It's something that I really think people should look at. The site more is for the articles, for the deck techs. We have so many people, whether it's budget, whether you want something fun and flavorful, commander fusions, like there's just so many different series that we have that can help make your next deck better.
You did bring up something that I forgot to mention in EDH Rec that I do all the time, which is finding the commanders of a certain color and then getting them in the order of popularity. And then I scroll all the way down and I go to the ones that have like 40 decks.
Very last one.
And I go, how can I make this fun for me? And yes. I love that. That's another little added in this fun for me. I do love EDH Rec, and I'm not being like a company man being a real shill about it. I do really love EDH Rec, and EDH Rec is a big reason why I got into the format back in 2014 again. I I really love this game, and I'm really excited for all of you guys to meet all you guys at Chicago and to play some more games. I'm excited about this year. Happy New Year, everybody. I love you very much. We'll talk to you soon. It is January 14th. We'll be back with another episode January 28th. And hopefully, pretty soon, we're going to have some changes to announce. Some new stuff going on over here on the Bullcast. We're going to be switching it up a little bit, making sure that we can get some stuff a little bit different over here. So keep an eye out on our Twitter, Instagram, and all that stuff. Check out the articles. It's time to scoot the day. I think I talked enough. Talk too much. Talking too much. It's Mikey time to leave now. Okay. Wait, one more thing. Okay.